Good morning, saints. The Lord be with you. Thank you. We'll pray momentarily. Actually, we'll pray right now. That's momentarily. Lord be with you. Lord, we thank you for you. You're an awesome God, Lord. You're beyond what we can even imagine. And yet you love us, and we thank you that you love us. You've called us to yourself, and we're gathered here as your sons and daughters this morning. We thank you for our sister Carolyn that you brought to be with us and to share with us today. We pray your anointing upon her as she shares. May our hearts be inspired by your work around the world. And Lord, may we rise up more and more as missionaries here to New Braunfels, to Texas, and to the world. Lord, may we be mindful that we are missionaries for you. Now bless this time, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. One other thing before I introduce Carolyn. You know we have that ministry, Dresses for Girls, right? Come on up, Jean. Jean Telkamp has headed this up. She's got a sidekick in Julie. Surprise, surprise. Come on over here. If you would join with me and can we? Yeah, that'd be good. There's a whole basket here of dresses that are vacuum packed. She's got a sample here. Isn't that cool? So if you'd like to participate in that ministry, do prayerfully consider it and talk to Jean or to Julie. But we want to pray a blessing over these as they're going to go back with Carolyn to Africa and be shared with the children there. So that's pretty awesome. Lord be with you. Lord, we thank you for those saints of our parish who offer this gift of theirs to make these dresses and to present them to children around the world. We ask, Lord, as these dresses go to Africa, that you set them apart, that those who wear them will be touched by your love, that they'll know that they're loved, and that as they put them on, they'll be mindful to put on Christ. So may it be a blessing, and we commission these to go in your name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jean. Thank you, saints, for pretty awesome. And so from time to time, these gals put together these beautiful little dresses to go. Really, we've sent them to all around the world. It's pretty cool. May we keep that up. All right, our guest speaker today is Carolyn Figlioli. I got to know her, and I know her minimally. There's a lot to know with Carolyn, let me tell you that. But she's been a longtime friend of the Wrights, Gwen and Larry, and big supporters of her. They knew her from when she was here carrying out. You were in the school system in Seguin and felt the call of the Lord to go and serve him in missions. And she's got a powerful missionary work that members of our parish support. And we'll see if the Lord will raise up more and more support from here. But we certainly can be praying for her and encouraged, have our hearts encouraged by what's going on. And so I'll leave her to take it from there. Carolyn, would you come on up, please? Yay, welcome.
Thank you. And you almost have to eat that. I know. We use these in Africa, believe it or not. Solar power, but we do have some power. Thank you so much for having me here. Gwen and Larry have been trying to get me to come here forever, and it took Friar Chuck to get me here. So I'm very blessed to be here. I left to go to Africa 10 years ago in May. I was very happy in the school system in Seguin, had my youth group, doing the work of the Lord here in America. And then I went on a mission trip to Africa in 2008, and my whole world got rocked. I was in a garbage dump in Mozambique, really, really big garbage dump, probably the size of 8 to 10 football fields, very, very high, years and years of layers of trash. And I remember walking up on this garbage dump and just being overwhelmed by the immensity of it and thinking how small I am and what can I do? What do I have to offer these people? And I felt like I don't have anything. I don't even know what to pray for them. And I was just in a place of, what am I doing here? And the Lord had been tugging at me for a year, and I was like, nope, la, 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 not going. I don't want to be a missionary. And I seriously said no to him. And so when I got to this garbage dump, I was overwhelmed with the immensity of it. And as we were getting ready to leave, there were bulldozers moving around, people digging through the trash, picking out food. It was just like almost a city up there. And we were getting ready to leave, and there was a group of people off to my right, and they were very upset about something. And a bulldozer had stopped doing what he was doing. And I asked my interpreter, what is going on over there? Why are they so upset? And he didn't want to tell me. And so I insisted, what's going on? And he said, there's a dead baby in the trash. My heart just dropped. And I remember running over there and falling on my knees and digging through the trash to find this baby. And I was holding this small baby that had just been born, umbilical cord still attached, little toes and feet, and it was a little boy, but he was dead. And I was just sobbing and holding this baby up, thinking, God, what do I do with this? Why are you showing me this? I don't even know what to pray, because if I pray for him to have life, what kind of life will he have? And I was just speechless. And so my interpreter said, we have to go now. And I said, well, we need to take this baby and bury him. And he said, no, we can't. You have to put him back. That was the hardest thing I ever had to do, was put a small baby back in the trash. And I stood up, and I was just numb. And this preacher, this pastor, interpreter, he put his hand on my heart, and he just started to pray for me. And I heard the Lord, he told me, he said, this is the human condition. He said, you know, many people come and they help, but then they leave and the situation remains the same. And he said, if you say yes, this baby, this boy, his death will not be in vain. I will give you so many children. And so that was the day that I said yes to the Lord. Like, full on, you can have it all, and seriously mean it. I remember I used to always hear that song, you can have it all, Lord. Every part of my world. And I would sing it and go, God, I really don't mean it, you know, because I say no. And so that was the day I said, okay, you can have it all. I'm going. And so miracle happened after miracle to get me there. I left everything. I don't own anything here, just some clothes in a closet. And I've never been richer in my life. Ever. It's just craziness. And so the first 3 years in South Sudan, which is where I am, was, I'll explain that, were really hard, difficult years. And the first 3 years is when most missionaries quit. It's a statistic, 80% of missionaries who go quit in the first 3 years because it's hard. It's not easy. 130 degree heat, you know, near Darfur, living in a tent for my first year. Seeing people die, wondering, you know, when am I going to see the amazing fruit of all of this? And so I was at a point where I thought, oh my gosh, I don't know if I can do this anymore. I was tired. And at that moment, I was offered to take over an orphanage in the south of South Sudan. And I thought, God, why are you asking me this? I'm tired. Don't you hear my prayers? I'm tired. I don't know if I can do this anymore. It's too much. And so I prayed about it, and I went, and he just kept saying, do you trust me? Do you trust me? And that was the only word I kept hearing from him, was, do you trust me? And so I was like, yes, Lord, I trust you. And so when I said, yes, I'll go, I said, I'll go on one condition, that you always be my provider, and then I'll go. And so he's always been my provider. I've never been in need. I've wanted things, but I've never been in need, and neither have my children. And so I took over this children's center. I've known these children because I had been there a couple of years before, and then I moved to do street children work up in near Darfur. And so when I went back, they knew me. They were very traumatized because all the missionaries had left them. There was nobody left. There was no money in the bank. These children were upset, angry. Why do people keep leaving us? And this is what I fell into. And then 3 months later, war broke out. So now I'm really saying, God, what have you done? What have you called me into? And so it was just the time of like, oh my gosh, there's no plan B. All of the UN people, all of the humanitarian aid people left the country. There was nobody left. I was a missionary with 150 children all by myself. And I thought, God, I can't do this without you. And so I was struggling under my own power to do this work, and I was just exhausted. And so I told my children, who are very, very spirit-filled and really love the Lord, they do outreach with me. They pray for people, and people get healed. The lame walk. It's really intense, but it came from this time of being in a hard, hard place where there was nowhere else to turn. And I said, we have to start worshiping the Lord every single morning. We have to do this because there's no help except for God. None. No food coming into the country. All the roads closed off. Planes not flying. Me and one other guy were the only Americans left in all of South Sudan at that time. And so we just started playing worship music every morning. I have an iPod and a speaker, and I would throw open the doors to my house. And the kids, as soon as they heard it, 6:30 in the morning, they would come into my house, laying on my floor, laying on my couches, just worshiping God with all of their hearts. And everything changed when we did that. When we lifted up his name in that place, things started to change. We felt a peace come over our compound. People started coming into the gates. On Friday nights, we would worship, and we would open the gates, and they would come in. They didn't even understand the language of the songs, but they knew that the presence of God was there. And so we didn't have money. I stockpiled some food because I didn't know when the roads were going to open again. So I had a little bit of food to last a month. And then my pastor comes up to me and he said, there's these refugees that have come down from the north. The war is a civil war. It always has been between two big tribes. And one of the larger tribes was in our town. Well, these refugees came from that other tribe into our town because they were afraid for their very lives. They came with nothing. There was nobody there to protect them, nobody to feed them, because they were hated by our town. And so my pastor said, we need, as a church, we need to try to feed them. So we're trying to get the churches to give food. And so I sat there and I thought, oh my gosh, I just stockpiled all this food and it's only for a month. And I said, okay, I'll give them 10%. That's the tithe, and God will bless that. Immediately in my spirit, the Lord said, why don't you give them 90% and live off of my 10%? And so I went, okay. I did. Seriously, I was like, okay. You said you would always provide for me. So my kids thought I had lost my mind. That wasn't the first time. And so we loaded 90% of all of that food that we had just bought into the back of our pickup truck. I said, kids, come around and lay hands on it. We're going to ask God to multiply this for these refugees whom he loves so much and for us. And so we prayed over it, blessed it, and sent it off with one of my drivers. We have goats. We have 30 goats. They would have one baby. You know, every spring they have their little babies. I am not exaggerating. I don't exaggerate. Within a couple of months when the goats started having babies, my goats were having triplets. Three goats! Never seen it before. My staff was like, this doesn't happen. Maybe once in a while, but we're having two and three goats, all of our goats. We had a guy come in and repair our water pump, which is where we get all of our water. And this was the dry season, like no rain since November. And so everybody that has a water pump, it just starts kind of trickling towards the end of the dry season. And so, you know, you don't want to share your water with the community when you have 150 kids to take care of. And so I called the guy to come in and fix it because I wanted it to be in good working order. So he came in, he fixed it. And then he came up to me to pay the bill, and he was almost angry with me, and he said, you need to use more water. You have too much water. And I'm like, this is crazy. This is the dry season. How can we have too much water? So I threw open the gates to our compound and said, all villages, come in and use our water. And that began my women's ministry. Serious. I started a women's ministry because of having too much water. The blessing of the Lord just poured out on us. And my kids were seeing all of this and were like, God is so real and he's so big and he really loves us and cares about us. So then the next thing he said, because I'm retired military, so I have a military background. During all of this time, it was the military that was fighting each other and causing all of the problems in our nation. And so during this time, he said, I want you to preach to the Army. I was like, now you've really gone too far. Me, I'm just a little lady, and you want me to go preach to these guys that are killing people. And so I asked my pastor, I said, John, do we know anybody in the SPLA, Sunni People's Liberation Army? He goes, yeah, they actually have a chaplain. So I'm like, okay, go ask him, because the Lord said we're going to preach there. So he went and asked him. The next day we had an appointment to see the colonel, the head guy. So I sat in his office, and he said, why do you want to come? And I said, I just want to encourage your men, you know, that God is with them and he loves them. And he said, he got real quiet, and he goes, okay, you can come tomorrow. 3 days, I'm standing in front of this giant battalion of soldiers, all standing in formation with their camouflage uniforms, AK-47s. There were 4 50 caliber machine gunners on all sides of us, pointed to the bush in case we got attacked while I was preaching. And I've never felt like the power of God so powerful as I did that day. And the word of God just struck into their hearts. I was preaching on how they are called to be sons of God, and blessed are the peacemakers, you know, for they will see the kingdom of God. And it was just incredible. And I look at all of the things that God asks us to do, and we miss it so many times because we say, no, I'm afraid, or no, that's not for me. And every time I say yes, I see just incredible things that God does. And I'm at a point where I don't want to say no anymore, because I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss. What is he going to do next? It's so exciting when you say yes. It is scary. But the more you step out into it, the less afraid you become each time you do it. And so we were just living in a really crazy time. There was no fuel in the country. And so I got really angry. And I said, God, how are we going to go, you know, preach your word to the villages and all of that, which is what we've been doing. I said, what are we, like, going to walk everywhere? And he was like, yes. So I would take my teenage kids, and we would load up our backpacks with a sleeping bag and a tent, 2 bottles of water, no food, and just walk. And we would go for the whole weekend, and wherever we went, it's really like it says in the Bible, somebody will take you in and feed you and let you sleep there. And so we went all weekend, and crazy miracles were happening. People were, that weekend, the first time we did it, we were walking along, and there were these people sitting in a graveyard. And so I said, let's go over there. I started to preach about the wedding feast in a graveyard, and people got saved. It was just incredible. And so that's what we did until we got more fuel in the country. We call them walkabouts, like they do in Australia. And so God is so faithful to show up. He's just looking for our faith. There's a lady named Catherine Coleman. Some of you might have heard about her. She was just incredible, filled with the Holy Spirit, only preached what the Holy Spirit would say. And one of my favorite sayings that she says that just strikes me in my heart is, it's when active faith dares to believe God to the point of action that something must happen. Active faith. You have to have active faith and dare to believe God. Something has to happen. He has to respond. Sometimes it takes continuous active faith. The war really came to our backyard in 2016. They drove up to our compound with mortar trucks, big rocket launchers, 50 caliber technos on the back of pickup trucks, to our school, which is like where those trees are, so close, proceeded to shoot 26 mortars off to the enemy. And I'm angry. I go up there. I'm like, do you realize what you've just done? I'm standing there looking at all of these soldiers. They're like, who is this? And I said, you've just put us in danger. There's going to be a return fire. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to pray for you guys. I'm going to pray that not a single one of you will be hurt. There will be no one dead when all of this is over with, so that you can see the power of God and his love for you, even in your mistakes. And I said, and we're going to feed you. So here, the scripture about feeding your enemies came alive. So we brought them food. We brought them water. We prayed over them. About an hour and a half later, all heck broke loose. Bullets flying everywhere. I mean, we'd been living with shooting every single night, laying on the floor, everybody running inside, living in the dark at night because you can't have your lights on or they'll see you. Soldiers walking around our fence line. So when that happened, everything went crazy for about 2 hours. It was full-on shooting all over the place. My pastor lived about a mile away in a house all by himself in the middle of a big field in the midst of all of this going on. When it was said and done, there wasn't a single bullet hole on his house. There should have been. There was no bullet holes on any of our buildings. There should have been. And not one of his guys in the army were hurt or killed that day. It was incredible. I see these things happen all the time. And I always pray, Lord, don't let this become so natural to me that I forget to see the awe and the might of our Almighty God in my life. Because when you say yes and when you walk in this boldness and in this faith and say yes to him no matter what, he does incredible things. Every day is like the book of Acts where, not every day, you have normal days where my kids are being brats, they're not listening, they're arguing. I have to go to the school, talk to their teachers. So I have those days, but when he asks us to do incredible things, you see him show up. So the war came to our backyard. Everybody in our village was leaving, carrying everything that they owned on their heads. We would see them going along the fence line every day, all day. Soon we were the only ones left with maybe 10 of our neighbors around us. And every night they would come and sleep on our compound in our education library. And I asked them, I said, why do you stay? Why don't you leave with everyone else? And they said, because the presence of God is here and this is where we feel safe. You know, that's such a testimony that someone more drawn in the middle where all the soldiers are to stay with you than to go somewhere else where they think it's safe. You know, it reminds me of the scripture that he will be a wall of fire around you and the glory within. And that's what we were living in, this time of just trusting him. It came to a point, though, where we really had to leave because it was dangerous. And so we loaded all of our kids and we had to go across town to another orphanage, sleeping on the floor. And we lost everything that we owned, all of our furniture, clothes, buildings, everything, lost it all. We had no money to get out of the country. The roads were closed. And so we just fought the fight for 3 months, went to every government office, asked for permission to take these kids out across to Uganda because we had no home anymore. There were no schools. There were no hospitals. It was bad. Roads closed, no food didn't come in. This orphanage that we stayed at, they would fly the food in on a plane just so that they could eat. And so we really prayed, and there came a point where I was able to get my first 16 kids out, and they were all over the age of 18, and so nobody could stop us because when we had previously gone, they stopped us at gunpoint, pointing guns at my kids and said, you need to take these children back to where you came from. They threatened to shoot the planes out of the sky that were going to come in and rescue us. So it was like serious stuff. They wanted to arrest me so my missionaries wouldn't let me leave the base because they were going to arrest me and throw me in jail. And so we prayed and prayed for these 16 kids. And I remember the day they got out, I was laying on the floor just like this, just laying there. And I said, I refuse to get up until these kids get out. And I was down there for an hour, hour and a half. I don't remember. It was a long time. And I finally got up, and I walked out the door, and I saw our Land Cruiser coming in from taking them to the airport, and the windows were shot out, blown out. And I always forget to tell this part. It was an airplane that had ramped up its engines, and it blew out the windows. There were 15 other cars there. Didn't happen to any other car. Only ours. Kids had glass all over them. And so I see this, and I don't know this yet, and the missionary jumps out, and he goes like that, and he said they got out. And I remember just falling on my knees and just sobbing out of gratefulness, just shaking with such thankfulness that 16 of my kids finally got out. And the Lord told me, he goes, truly this day you have given birth to these children. And that's the day that they became mine forever and that I committed my forever life. I tell my kids, I'm like, when I die, don't send my body to America. Don't do an autopsy. I want to just be wrapped in a sheet and put in the ground here in the dirt in Africa where my home is. And so when I say home, it's always with these kids. There was a time, did I ever become afraid? There was one time where I became afraid because we heard stories of UN workers, foreigners, Americans, where women were being, gang raped. Like, there was no boundary anymore. They didn't care about what lines they crossed. There was a nun in our town who had lived there for 20 years, driving an ambulance for the hospital. Everybody knew who she was. One night, they wanted her car, so they shot her dead. We saw bodies floating in the river with no heads, just really scary stuff. And I remember praying, oh, Lord, this can't happen to my girls. And I can't handle it if my boys get taken as child soldiers, because they were doing that too. And I remember for 3 nights just praying, sitting up in my mosquito net bed. And the Lord finally gave me a word on the third night, and it's Philippians 1:27. And it's ministered to me to this day. It's my life verse. And it's out of the Passion Bible, and it's, keep your life in the reality of Jesus Christ. This is what will draw men unto him, even those who hear of your faith. And so that night I said, Jesus is going to be my reality and not what's going on around me. He's going to be my reality. And so he also told me that night, face your fear. And so I literally got on a plane and I flew up to the capital city where all of this hard stuff was happening. And a door opened that had never opened to a white person ever before. I got to go deep into the SPLA Army barracks. 2 miles in, I had to be escorted in by the bishop there, an Episcopal man, and I got to preach at their little church. No white person had ever preached there before. They didn't trust Americans, and so they told me their hearts. And I remember listening to all of the elders of the church just sitting there, just so humbled that I even got to be there for such a time as this. And then when they were done speaking, I stood up because I thought, well, maybe I have something to say. And I just fell to my knees and started sobbing and repenting that we had hurt them so much that they didn't trust us anymore. That day, all of this, the anger broke off of them. I gave them a nice offering to help build a nice church. And they told me, when we open this church, you are going to be the one who's going to preach that day, on the opening day, you know. And so I'm telling you, this came out of being so afraid. The Lord said, face your fear. And I said, I'm going right to the heart of it, where they're raping people and killing people. And I'm going to be bold for Jesus Christ, you know. And I wasn't going to be a martyr. I just know that I heard him. And look what happened, you know. And so even in the craziest times, just the most amazing things will happen. One of the last things that I talk about is today is when I went to Africa, I wanted so much to see everything that is in the Bible. I said, God, I want to see this happen every day. I want this to be my life, the reality of my life. And I heard Luke chapter 18:8, and the verse says, when the Son of Man returns, will he really find faith? Like, will he really find faith? And I wanted to be one that says, you found it right here. And so I just encourage you, don't be afraid to say yes to the Lord. Keep your ears open to hear him in your spirit. And the only way you can hear him is to be still and not to run around and rush around all the time and doing the works of the ministry. Just be still. What is he saying for today? Iris Ministries is who I'm with. And our mission statement is stop for the one. Don't be overwhelmed by the big picture and everything that needs to be done. Who has God put in front of you today? Stop for that one. I stopped for that little baby. And that led me to the next. And so God is so faithful. He has amazing things for every single person in here. I'm 57 and I'm just getting started. Just getting started. Look at the energy that he gives me, because it's his anointing and it's nothing about me. It's about me saying yes. That's all he wants, is a yes. And he'll handle the rest. So I just pray right now, Lord, that anybody that has fear in their heart of saying yes, whether it's I don't have the money, I don't have the time, I have little children, I'm afraid to go there. Father, I just ask right now that you would just break fear off, that you would show them how faithful you are in every situation, whether calm or whether storm, that you're with us side by side, that you don't call us to use us, you call us to partner with us, to walk through it with us. And so I just pray a blessing on everyone here, that they would walk away from here today knowing that they're called individually for something greater than themselves, something greater than us, in Jesus' name. I have little pamphlets over there if you want to follow me or follow us, what we're doing. We can sponsor kids and stuff like that. So thank you so much for having me here.
I don't know about you. I do know about me. That up. Yes. Fear not, the Lord says over and over again. And so often, that's what holds us up. And I, along with Carolyn, have said to the Lord, Lord, I want to always say yes. So if you're calling me to this, yes. I do want to be clear that you're calling me. You know, that it's you that's calling me. But if so, yes. And I pray that for us. It's exciting what the Lord has called her to do. Of course, it's a lot easier for us to stand here and say, go, Carolyn, go. But the Lord says to you, go, saints, go. Go into the world. She's carrying out mission in Africa. Praise the Lord. And the Lord is being glorified there. But the Lord has called us, most of us, to be missionaries right here in New Braunfels, in Texas, and the world. You have that same call, not the same gifting, not the same way to do it, but every single one of us is a missionary for Christ. You're witnesses, and witnesses are to be missionaries. I mean, what's missionary mean? Sent ones. And we're part of the one holy Catholic and what? Apostolic. Apostolic is sent. And so we're all part of that church, that one church that is sent. And so together, we're to go. And we're now at a place at Christ our King. This is so timely, Carolyn, for us to understand ourselves, each and every one of us, as missionaries. And so when you leave here today, you're going into the mission field. And the stuff that we do, the Lord has set us up in little mission stations. Whatever it is you're doing out there in the world, you have a mission station to touch lives for Jesus Christ. And so we want to pray for you in that, support you in that, and we need to team up in doing that. And there's new things for us to do. The Lord is growing this community. He's bringing people to us. Think about that. Some people say, oh, man, it's growing. Yeah, it's inconvenient. Is it inconvenient at times in Africa? The issue is not our convenience. The issue is there is a need in the world. People are broken. They may not look the same as they are in Africa, but in some ways they're worse. Because a lot of them think they know what Christianity is. They think they know who Jesus is, and they do not. And we are to take him to them. Go. All right, I could preach longer, but I'm not going to, because we need to get in there. But you fired me up, Carolyn, and let me pray over you and over us. Lord, be with you. Lord, we thank you for your servant, our friend, our sister, Carolyn. We thank you for what you've done in her. We thank you, Lord, for bringing her to share her story with us, the story of the part she plays in your kingdom work to bring the good news of your compassion, of your power to heal. Lord, we're blessed to hear those miracles. But the same God, you are the same God who carries out those miracles there as who can carry out miracles here. Not a different one, same one. And, oh, Lord, we know that we are often the hindrance. And so we ask in Jesus' name that as you send her with your blessing, that you'll send us, that we will see ourselves as the sent ones, and that whoever's life we touch will have your love for them, and that even if we don't see what the need is, you do, and you will use us to communicate that compassion of the Lord to them. And so we ask that you'll work wonders in our midst. First, Lord, with changing our hearts, that we see the big picture and not the stuff that we're caught up in day to day. And Lord, that we see ourselves as missionaries going into the world. And Lord, that we will not fear. And Lord, that we will love and so take you to the world. We bless you, Lord. And now as we go our way, we ask that you be our vanguard and our rear guard, and that we walk in you. We ask this in your holy name. Amen. Go Saints. We meet in the crossroads for Palm Sunday, Liturgy of the Palms.